Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We have 63 days to go.
She said what?
Whoa.
There it is. The conspiracy theories.
Well, you just heard the next vice president, didn't you?
What does she mean by that?
In addition to thanking Marsha Fudge. So thank your great Senator Sherrod Brown.
Nice to have her as president, wouldn't it? Really good. Sad. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Excuse me.
The woman's falling apart. I mean, you're not going to laugh at this. She's collapsing on the stage. Keep it going. I mean, the media covered this up.
And Joyce Beatty, and your mayor, thanks to Mayor Jackson.
Just what we need is this in the White House. After 8 years of Obama, we need a cripple in the White House.
I hope that Ohio will send Ted Strickland to the Senate.
Can you believe this? You know, this shows insanity, by the way. Forget illness. It shows insanity. Keep going.
Great.
I hope you didn't
labor
stop
leaders
the tape.
Of our country.
This went on for 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes.
Randy Weingarten. Lee Saunders. Rich Trumka. I'm proud to be on the same stage with them. Because they're always fighting for working families.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now.
Yeah, working families.
Once I get over my allergic reaction. Yeah. We're here in part because...
Okay, I can play this. Keep it going, because I think it's worth hearing for the average person out there. They don't know what we're talking about. I think I'll get a cough from listening to it. I'm getting a contact cough from her. You know, I don't know if it's more of a blessing or a curse. If she became president, at least we wouldn't have to listen to her inane drivel. This would stop her from the inane drivel about children and the environment. And minorities. Is she still doing it? All right, so that's number one. Hillary coughing fit, topic one. Now, wait, post-Labor Day. Here's number two. It gets crazy. Look, I went away for the weekend. I took off Friday, as you know. I drove up to the Tahoe area. And I had the pleasure of listening to the show, as I got into the mountains on KKOH out of Reno. Which is a flamethrower. That thing goes to it. Canada, the Rocky Mountains, over the Rocky Mountains. It's one of the great heritage signals. It's awesome to listen to it in the middle of the forest. And I got to tell you something. It gives you a different perspective on radio when you drive in a car and listen to radio if you're in the business. And I don't know how many people in the business have an opportunity to drive in a car and listen to their own show on a long road trip. Maybe some do, maybe some don't. I don't often get the opportunity. Because I don't travel much. Moreover, I don't travel by car. But I have a 2006 Chevy van that I bought new. And the thing is still running. I mean, I have 22,000 miles on it. It lives under a cover. Runs great. Old V8. One of those things with captain's chairs. And a real white trash Brady Bunch van that I love. I won't sell it. And it makes you part of the horde going up and down the highway. You pull off on the roadside, you see the welfare moms not working, weighing 300 pounds with their babies and no fathers, enjoying their hamburger in the middle of a work day. You know, that's the future of America that your president created. Just obese welfare recipients sitting around having hamburgers in the middle of the day with their children, with no fathers around that the government's taking care of, and enjoying themselves more than you are as you break your back for this bum. Now, the people around the world are catching on to him. He had the worst weekend of his life. The most telling picture is in China, where they wouldn't even give him a roll-up walkway to come down with a red carpet like they did all the other world leaders. You know what the Chinese did to him? They made him come out the back of the airplane. They made him come out of the rear exit. I mean, it's a picture that'll make your hair stand up. But he bops down the steps like he's still in charge, you know. No one's looking at him. You got to see this picture. It's awesome to watch. They wouldn't give him a thing with the red carpet. They insulted him to his core. And he had to come out the belly of Air Force One on an escape hatch that they use for stewardesses. And as he's coming down, no one's looking at him. They're all standing at attention, looking to someone else. And he's bopping down with the hands like he's, you know, still in charge. And he don't get it yet. Wait, that's number two of what's happening to the Democrat socialist machine. It gets even worse for them. It gets even worse. The president of the Philippines is conducting a war against drug dealers because the country got tired of drug dealers and drug addiction. So they elected a mayor who said, I will take control of this drug problem. And he started killing drug dealers. He's killed over 2,000 drug dealers using vigilantes. Now, let me tell you something. The Filipinos are some of the toughest guerrilla fighters in the world. Ask men who were still alive who fought in World War II about the Filipinos they fought alongside. But that's a secondary story. He got the toughest people in his country, and they're killing drug dealers, right? You'd say that's a good thing? Not if you're Barack Obama, who's releasing drug dealers from jail. Obama has the nerve to tell the president of the Philippines, you have no right to take control of your drug problem the way you're doing it. Do it our way. In other words, let the epidemic spread so everyone's a drug addict in the Philippines. So the president of the Philippines, who's a very proud Filipino, gets mad and calls him the son of a whore. I'm not making it up. I couldn't believe this. You got to listen to clip 08. This is just shocking.
I am a president of a sovereign state, and we have long ceased to be a colony. I do not have any master except the Filipino people. Nobody but nobody. You must be respectful. Do not just throw away questions and statements. Putang ina, mumurahin kita dyan sa forum na yan.
I don't speak Tagalog, but I know this. He also said, if you don't stop insulting me, we will both roll in the mud like pigs, and you will not look too good. That's what he said, meaning he was challenging him to a fight. Would you believe this? I mean, this is astounding what's going on around the world. Wait, wait, wait. We have more for you on the Savage Nation today. Not only that, but this low life of a president of yours, this embarrassment of a human being, has the nerve to join Colin Pippleneck, basically joining the Black Lives Matter thug movement, in dissing the national anthem, using a cover story. You know, he has the right to protest. That is so off the wall for a president to do a thing like that. But it's to be expected from an anti-American slime ball like him. Wait, it even gets better. We have more for you. We gave you coughing, the Hillary coughing. We gave you the Filipino president call, oh, you know what. We got your president joining the Black Lives Matter movement and dissing the national anthem for Labor Day weekend. And we got more. Reuters cut the camera on Trump as Trump was being lauded by a black church group in Detroit. And when they put a shawl on him, it was a Jewish prayer shawl. A black church, mind you, was anointing Trump as a great man of the Judeo-Christian faith. You can hear one of the slime balls from Reuters, who I've long told you are the descendants of the folks who ran the Third Reich. You don't understand this, but the progressives in Germany today are the descendants of those who ran the Third Reich under Adolf Hitler. That's why they're progressives. They found out that it's easier to hoodwink the people and control the population by selling them a crock of crap called progressivism than selling them fascism. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. Do you understand that? So there's laudatory coverage. A cameraman is rolling on it. And you hear someone in the background say, cut the footage. They don't want the people to see that Trump is being received well by African Americans. The guy says, I'd rather lose my job than cut the footage. The guy screams at him, cut the footage. And they bring in a director who says, cut it off now. That's coming also on the Savage Nation today. This is an amazing weekend because it kicks off the presidential election, as you well know. Most Americans are tuned out of politics until now when they tune in. And believe me, they've tuned in to the biggest propaganda show in history. When you see a president being spit on by world leaders around the world and it's covered up by the vermin in the media, I have to use the word because there's no other word to explain rats who pose as journalists. How would you describe them? I don't like propagandists. I hate them. You may hate my politics, but let me tell you something. I don't disguise them. I don't mask them. I don't pretend I'm something that I'm not. This is who I am. They are rats because all they do is hide their real agenda, and their real agenda is to convert this to a third world cesspool, okay, run by dictators. And they're doing a pretty good job with that thing in the White House. Now, this is also the kickoff day for my book, Scorched Earth, which is published next Tuesday, meaning it will be in bookstores next Tuesday. And I don't have to ask you if you will go buy it, because I know many of you will. There's a guaranteed number of people who are all ready to go in and buy it. But I will tell you that if you want to pre-order it on Amazon or any of the other sites, I'm going to send you a free copy of the interview with Donald Trump from 2011, which will be a collector's item, trust me. Even if Trump doesn't win, that MP3 will be a collector's item. So all you got to do is go to that thing and order it, pre-order it, and you get it. Bingo. Now, having said that, I want to go back to the main stories because they tie into something bigger. You know how in the past I've told you that each of my shows has a theme, and I try to stick to the theme. I haven't done that for a while because I got distracted with the election. I can't wait for this election to be over so I can be a regular thinker again, a free thinker at that, and a Renaissance man and a storyteller again, because I cannot do this. Thank God it's almost over. I swear to God. I mean, win, lose, or draw, I want it over with. I'm not going to be talking about Trump and Hillary for the rest of my life. Let me tell you that. Whoever wins, that's it. I'm going to go on and do other things because there's a bigger world than the politicians and the political class. Trust me on that. But this week, in going up to the election, we're going to go into the politics of each of these people. But I had time to reflect under the trees, and there's something about the high mountains. I used to go to the mountains a lot, but I live near sea level. I don't travel up to the mountains at all anymore. I haven't for years. Once I got into boating 10 years ago, I kind of never left the bay. Hardly ever. I wouldn't go inland. I just wouldn't. I was on the water, and that was it. The water was sort of the Harvard and the Yale for me that was described a long time ago. It taught me everything and gave me everything I needed in many ways. But I went up to the mountains, and I had clarity of thought, not because I can't think here, but the isolation of it up there allowed me to think about a few things, and I want to throw some ideas by you. You want to hear one? Here is a Savage original. I want you to write it down and the date, because it will be quoted widely without referencing me. I want you to know what you're about to hear on 9/6/2016 is a phrase that will live forever. Are you ready for it? Poverty is not a vice, and affluence is not a virtue. I'm Michael Savage. I'll repeat it again. Write it down. Poverty is not a vice. Affluence is not a virtue. I'll explain when I return on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Boy, we have 63 days to go.
You didn't hear this, did you, on ABC? If Trump burps, they make it into a mountain. This one coughs herself almost off to death, God forbid. And they're nothing. George Stephanopoulos laughing his way to the Swiss bank account. Wolf Blitzer guzzling the white wine that they give him, the chief swill. Go ahead, play it. What are you cutting it off for? Just play it. The people didn't hear it. They cut it off. You have a right to know if a presidential candidate is sick, don't you? No, not. Apparently not. You didn't know that your president in the White House now what he was, did you? Did you know who he was? The same vermin who gave you him are giving you her.
Vice president, didn't you?
All right, you get the picture. So I'll go back to what I'm trying to say to you. Basically, my saying is poverty is not a vice. Affluence is not a virtue. Write it down. It's an original savagism. It goes along with be here or be nowhere. If it wasn't for Eddie in World War II, you'd be a lampshade or speaking German. People remember these things. There's a whole lexicon of savagisms over this career of mine. I mean, here's the newest. Poverty is not a vice. Affluence is not a virtue. What I'm getting at is this. What do the poor have to lose voting for Trump? They know what socialism and socialist type of presidents have done for them already. After 8 years of printing money and giving them welfare, have their lives improved? No, their lives haven't improved. So what do the poor have to lose voting for Trump? Whatever they've done has not worked for them in their life. And so they keep voting for a Democrat thinking that things are going to get better for them. Has it gotten better for them? No. It's all promises. So you have a choice with the other guy. You know, look, I was up in the Sierra Nevada. I told you that. I spoke with a few people, some I knew. And we were away from the TV, but I turned it on for 1 minute, and there was Obama being shown. I got sick. Just seeing his image in the middle of this pure forest got me ill again. I saw this liar, this deceiving liar, hypocrite, hangs around with the trillionaires of the world and makes believe he's part of the Black Lives Matter movement in order to scare the white middle class with his goon squad. All he's got to do now is deputize them and give them guns. And suddenly you'll see what I've been talking about for years about this man and what he really has in mind. You know, study Soviet communism, study the young pioneers, study the Red Brigades, you'll know what I'm talking about. He's got his Red Brigades ready for when they steal the election from Trump, which I'm going to get into today because that's the biggest story. Obama, you see, has been floating balloons to steal the election should Trump win. First, they started with the lie that Russia is hacking into our election system. Then they got the stooge, Jay Johnson, who has failed us at every turn as director of Homeland Security. One Muslim terror attack after another, and he failed us. Any other, if he was a private citizen, he would have been fired. Negligence, and he still holds his job. And he had the nerve to give a speech just before Labor Day weekend saying that they're worried about the elections and they want to federalize them and take them over, even though the Constitution is very clear and says the states shall control the elections. But it got even better over the weekend. And it got so frightening that I said, my God, they're getting ready to steal the election if Trump wins. What they're going to do is they're going to say that the Russians hacked the election. The election is not a valid election. And in order to preserve America's democracy, Obama has to stay in office or they have to start with a new election. You would put it past this gang? This extrajudicial gang of crooks? You would? I wouldn't.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We know how important this election is to Ohio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not just, as Tim said,
okay,
in Ohio.
Listen to me. This is nothing to laugh at. We're not mocking Hillary Clinton. You get this correctly. Do you want a sick person in the White House who may have to leave office? Do you want Bill Clinton to become the president again, going around the constitutional restrictions? Is that what you want? Some of you would say, I don't care if Obama stays in office. I like the freebies. Or I like the billions I've made this last 8 years on fraudulent contracts. I like the fact that I've committed one felony after another, but because I'm in power, no one can touch me. But most of us don't want that. The world knows who he is. They've turned on him. They're mocking him. They're making a mockery of him. While he floats a balloon to steal an election, he has the nerve to lecture other countries on democracy when he's stolen our democracy from us. Leaving a scorched earth policy behind. I've tried to tell you what I mean. Am I wrong when I say America is becoming a third world nation of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos? Am I wrong when I say to you we may be one bad election away from losing everything? Is that not true, what I just said to you? Of course it's true. But you wouldn't know it, most of you, because, shall I say, the media hides it from you? Okay, I am going to tell you that there is an answer from my point of view. People say, you know, don't give up hope. You've done the best you can. I said, things only got worse. I tried my best for 22 years and with the message of borders, language, and culture. And we went the other way. They said, no, but listen. But then you have a candidate that came along who basically espouses that philosophy. You never thought that would happen in your lifetime. Who'd you have? You had Jeb Bush, who was Hillary, basically, in another form. You had the others. I don't have to knock them. They were not really going to do anything differently. It was just going to be another gang of crooks taking over the country. And the reason the establishment hates Trump, even though he's a billionaire, is because he's not beholden to them. And all the crooks who have been feeding off the system on both sides of the aisle detest him because they know they're going to be out of business. So you'll say, well, maybe a new set of crooks will come in. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. And I'm telling you that with Obama leaving a scorched earth policy in his wake, I'm not sure the nation can recover from his scorched earth policies. When I heard him over the weekend joining that despicable football player who has failed on the field and is now looking for the adulation of the masses through another means in sitting out the national anthem, spitting in the faces of 49ers fans, diminishing the brand of the 49ers, diminishing the NFL's brand, and management sat on the sidelines doing nothing. And then to top it off, the hustler is in Asia, and the hustler says he basically supports him. I said, oh boy, this is really explaining everything. Maybe the average person will finally understand who was in the White House. Maybe they'll understand what I mean by scorched earth. Maybe they will go to scorchedearthbook@gmail.com and get the first free MP3 of me and Trump from 2011 when they order the book in advance. Maybe they'll do it, maybe they won't. And then I thought about something else. In addition to my headline, poverty is not a vice, affluence is not a virtue, and I'm saying what do the poor have to lose to vote for Trump? Well, what do the poor have to lose voting for Trump, rather? I want to go back to something else I was thinking about over the weekend, which was Marxist billionaires, because it almost sounds ironically paradoxical. How can you be a Marxist and a billionaire? It doesn't compute, right? You've been brainwashed to believe that if someone is a Marxist, they're poor. The propaganda machine has made you think that communists are poor, crumpled suits, they look like Bernie, they don't have much money, and they're like Robin Hoods. They rob from the rich to give to the poor. And so many of you are deluded into thinking that Marxists are good. You don't know anything about the history of communism, that 100 million people were killed or forcibly starved to death in the last century as a result of communism. You don't know anything about that. We all know about the demon called Hitler, but he was also a socialist. Again, you don't know that either. You don't know that Nazi is the anglicized acronym for National Socialists. You don't get that. But I'm trying to explain to you today a little bit about what a Marxist billionaire is, and I'm going to do it over the next 2 days. And it came to me in a dream, the words Marxist billionaires. I'm not saying they're original words, but it's an original concept for my show. And what it was this is I had a dream that I was in New York City. I don't know why, when, how. An affluent group, mainly of women for some reason, that I was speaking to, and they were not paying much attention. I've been invited over to give a speech to some women, and it was more of an amusement for them than anything else. And I was trying to explain to them what a Marxist billionaire was, and they weren't that interested until I drilled down into the two words. And then they said, wait, let him speak, listen to him clearly. And then I explained to them what a Marxist billionaire is and what it has to do with this election. And then I wake up. Yesterday, I see the New York Post. This former fat kid is now a billionaire heir playboy on the New York City party scene. And who is it? It's George Soros' son. They say it's an August weekend at Camp Soros, a $72 million watermill estate, and the rosé is flowing. Models, NBA players, and club kids kick it by a pool overflowing with rubber ducky floats. And the personal chef, of course. And who's the host? Billionaire heir Alex Soros. The son of 86-year-old Master Ganef, in my opinion, George Soros, who has a net worth of $25 billion, has a party pad, the son. And it says, everyone became the hottest spot in the Hamptons overnight, with everyone from Pussy Riot's this to a sports fan, a player I never heard of, to some hooker model. They all went to the party. And here he is, the nerd. And they say those close to Alex Soros say the 30-year-old is the Hamptons' most unlikely playboy. Working on his University of California Berkeley PhD thesis, which is interesting because I earned my PhD with a thesis in 1978 at UC Berkeley. His is entitled, you're not going to believe this, Jewish Dionysus, Heine, Nietzsche, and the Politics of Literature by Day and Cavorting with the Young and Beautiful by Night. Well, first of all, the thesis is absurd. I won't waste your time by dissecting what it means. It means nothing. Jewish Dionysus, Heine, Nietzsche, and the Politics of Literature. It's one of those literature PhDs that has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. So nevertheless, here he is partying on and a big socialite, and meanwhile he's a Marxist. And who does he associate with? The lowest scum in American society. Hookers who became models. Anti-American ball players with tattoos on their souls. Promoters for hot spots, you know, drug dens in Manhattan. That's who he's associating with? Yeah, that's who Soros' son is associating with. While his father is burning the earth down, in my estimation. One country after another. That's what a Marxist billionaire is. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So now we come back full circle to the question. Are we one bad election from losing everything? Is Obama actually floating balloons to steal an election? He is. Everyone who studies the news, anyone who has a brain, can see what he's doing from a mile away. They're actually signaling what they're going to do. First, they got their stooge out last week, Jay Johnson, who said, we're worried about the elections being hacked. We want to protect them. Maybe it should be part of my Department of Homeland Security. Astounding. Even pure liberals said that's rubbish. You can't do it. Wait, it gets even better. Now, a couple of days ago, they come up with the speculation about a candidate possibly dying. Gee, I wonder who they meant. Were they talking about Trump being assassinated or Hillary dying from a coughing fit? God forbid, and choking to death. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know what they mean by that. I mean, these are a dangerous gang of people, my friends. Really dangerous people. This story came out today as a side note that has not made it to the news yet. I grabbed it before I went on the air, and I put it up on michaelsavage.com. I'm surprised my good friend Matt Drudge doesn't have it yet. But this story is a shocker. And my headline is, assassination attempt on Putin kills his driver, question mark. A Mercedes that was known to be Vladimir Putin's personal BMW, rather, was on a highway in Moscow, driven by his favorite driver, when out of nowhere on this big, big eight-lane highway with a huge divider, from the opposite side comes a Mercedes that jumps over to the other side and smashes right into Putin's BMW, presidential car, and the Russian president's favorite chauffeur was killed. The driver had over 40 years' experience. It's captured on brutal CCTV footage. I put it up on michaelsavage.com. It doesn't look like an accident to me. It looks like an orchestrated hit on the president of Russia. Now, I won't go into the politics of this one. I do know that there were some telling pictures of him and our esteemed leader staring at each other with death stares. It was called death stares. I don't put anything past these people. They chill me to my bone. I think they're a murderous gang, the worst murderous gang I've ever seen in my life. They're willing to destroy nations to advance their agenda. So why wouldn't they, you fill in the blanks. So now we come back to Obama floating balloons to steal an election. So they're saying, well, what if one of them, what if a candidate dies? What effect would that have on the election, they said? They said, well, maybe the election could be delayed or scrapped altogether. That was in the U.S. News and World Report. Then they get one of their stooge professors, University of Notre Dame law professor, who says, there's nothing in the Constitution which requires a popular election for the electors serving in the Electoral College. It's up to each state legislature to decide how they want to choose the state's electors. It may be a situation in which the fact that we have an Electoral College rather than direct voting for presidential candidates may prove to be helpful. Then Homeland Security Director Jay Johnson speculates, we should carefully consider whether our election system is critical infrastructure like the power grid, and if it is the case, our department could claim it to take it over and secure it. So they keep floating these balloons about election tampering and how the federal government could be called upon to interfere, even though the Constitution gives the federal government some limited powers through Congress as far as the electoral colleges go. But popular elections are handled through the states and local communities. Now, you combine these trial balloons from the Dems and Obama about Russian hacking to questioning if an election can be held if a candidate dies, to Jay Johnson's outrageous comments with Obama's initial talk of a federal police force, commutation of sentences for drug dealers and other felons, and keeping a steady flow of Muslim refugees and illegals into the nation, what do you have? What you had was a speech by none other than James Clapper, who'd been put in charge of monitoring the false claim of possible Russian hacking. Who is James Clapper? This is the same James Clapper that has said on record that Trump is a threat to national security. The same James Clapper who has not protected us from Islamo-fascists is now telling us he's investigating possible Russian hacking. They're setting it up from a mile away. I'll ask you a little question, audience of the Savage Nation. What would you honestly consider doing if this gangster regime says the election was tampered with and voids the election if Trump wins? What would you do? Simple question. Now, don't call and tell me you'll get your gun and the Minutemen. I want to hear what you're really going to do. I want to know what 30 to 50 million people will do if this gang steals the election. Because remember, it looks to me like Trump's winning. And I'll tell you something else that you don't know. Polls show him up too, but insiders who I talk to from time to time, who really know what's going on, tell me that he's going to win by a landslide. Not by a small margin. He's going to win by a landslide. And they know it. They know that she's despised. She's also falling apart. They know that the nag may not make it to the finish line at Aqueduct. She may not make it to that tape. I'm sorry. We're not wishing for harm to anyone. That nag is falling apart. She's an old woman. She's not strong. She's falling apart. She may not make it to the finish line. And they're terrified that the Trump people may just take over this country. And then they're going to throw this entire plan into gear. And I want to know what you, the people, would do. That's all. Back in a minute. On the Savage Nation, the home of the one book that you need to give to a Prague or an undecided to possibly save this nation. It's called Scorched Earth.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
And all of the challenges and the opportunities that we face. That's why this election is critical to every person in this state. And what I want to emphasize is I know we can't face our problems alone. We have to work together. We believe we are stronger together.
All right. Okay, you get the picture. Now listen. People are writing things like this. Savage is supposed to understand that most who have had a blood clot are put on ACE inhibitors or beta blockers, both of which can and do cause uncontrollable dry cough day and night until the body becomes accustomed to them, which can take a very long time. We need full disclosure about Hillary's health because the last thing we need is a sick commander-in-chief in a time of war. And make no mistake about it, we are at war with radical Islam. They are at war with us, and they mean to kill us until they convert us or we kill them. It's that simple. They're never going to become like you. They're not becoming nice citizens. They want to destroy you. Now, 10 doctors have questioned Hillary's health. See the Drudge Report, top left. 10 doctors have now come out. They're not afraid. Meanwhile, MSNBC, that propagandist feed, cut the feed as she started to choke for air. The fit lasted over 4 minutes. The New York Times are reporting she struggled to get through the rally. This is not funny. We don't need a sick commander-in-chief. And remember my main line, poverty is not a vice. Affluence is not a virtue. I'll explain in detail what that has to do with you on the Savage Nation, part 2.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
In terms of Mr. Kaepernick, you know, I got to confess that I haven't been thinking about football while I've been over here. And I haven't been following this closely, but I, you know, my understanding at least is that he's exercising his constitutional right to make a statement. I think there's a long history of sports figures.
All right, so the snake basically joined the slime ball, colon Pimpleneck, in dissing the national anthem because the snake feels the same way as the Black Lives Matter movement. There's no question he's showing who he really is in the last months of his existing reign, and I say existing with emphasis on the word existing because I'm not so sure that this gang will not try to hold on if Trump wins by declaring the election null and void as a result of Russian hacking, which doesn't exist in my estimation. It's all a scam. It's being set up in advance, as I explained in the first hour of this very important program. Now, it's tempting for me to repeat what I did in hour one, but I can't do it because I'll get bored, and some of you who listen to the whole 3 hours will get bored. But in a broad sweep, we covered Hillary's health problems, mainly her coughing fit that went on for 4 minutes that was covered up by the stooges in the media, the totally discredited stooges in the media who won't cover it. But even the New York Times is saying she struggled to get through the rally. Okay, 10 doctors have now come out questioning her health. You have a right to know the health of any candidate running for office, as well as their past associations. Now, I should emphasize the fact that the same vermin who were covering up her health problems covered up Obama's relationships to terrorists and known anti-American bad people in his entire life. They did the same thing to us with him as they're doing with her. If Trump sneezes, they turn it into a felony. So the fact of the matter is, we the people seem to be able to see through it all. Now, here's a telling statement that I want to repeat right now. As I said in the first hour, I was away for the holiday. I went up to Lake Tahoe in my 2006 Chevy van, which I bought in 06 new. Great car. It's not really digital. It's an old analog van, I think. I don't think the government can control it by satellite. Should I have to get out of town? It's got soft seats, big tires, V8 engine, and I think you could buy hoses and belts for it in any filling station in America because it's an old Chevy V8. So the fact is, on the trip, as I listened to the radio going up and down, listened to talk radio in different stations, you got signals coming, signals going, I started to think about so many different things. You know, you have a lot of time in a car. Normally, I don't do that. Either I don't go anywhere or I fly somewhere and that's it. But something about a road trip that changes your mind, sometimes for the better, sometimes worse, like traveling on a road with 3 dogs, one of which has an incident in the back of the van, is not very pleasant on a hot day. Let me put it to you that way. But that's part and parcel of a road trip in America, as is pulling off into a shady hamburger stand and seeing the welfare moms who don't work stuffing their fat faces with hamburgers with their children while you're working, they're partying on hamburgers, food stamps, etc. It's a slice of America that you really don't see living in your own hardworking world. And I came up with ideas on the road, like what is a Marxist billionaire, and I explained it. And then I talked about my new statement, which I just put up on Facebook, so when it's stolen by someone, you could see who created it. Poverty is not a vice, affluence is not a virtue. It's a very important statement from my point of view. In a way, it ties into this election, because both candidates are very affluent. See, this is the thing to remember. We don't have one impoverished candidate running against a rich candidate. It's not Bernie Sanders, the communist slime ball, running against the rich Donald Trump. That would have been a very interesting showdown, and America would finally decide whether it wants to go socialist or capitalist, clearly and once and for all. But right now we have two major league capitalists running for office with very different visions about how the country should run. One is a crony capitalist called Hillary Clinton, a total crook, in my opinion, from top to bottom. A scam artist, controls the media, lied about the Benghazi hearings, controlled the senators who are running the hearings, according to the latest emails that were just released. A foundation that's nothing but a slush fund to those who study these things. A totally untrustworthy individual. So I'm in Tahoe, as I said, and in one interchange, I started to tell a story in the last hour and actually lost control of it because I went somewhere else. I wasn't watching the news at all. I don't watch the news when I'm on vacation. I don't look at a newspaper. I don't look at it. I won't do it. I need time off from the madness. I started to look at pine trees again. I looked at conifers and chipmunks. I looked at anything natural. I looked at the cloud formations. I looked at the alluvial plain up in the area. I wanted to see nature again. Nature has never failed to tell me the truth. You know, nature has never failed to tell Michael the truth, ever. It's always been my lodestone. Whenever things get bewildering in my life, I turn to nature, whether it be the water or the mountain or the sky or the dog. But the point is, I turned the TV on when some folks were over for a brief period of time, and for 1 second or two, a fleeting moment really, the liar-in-chief appeared on his trip, and I couldn't stand his persona. His entire personage got me sick. So I said, I'm going to turn it off. I can't stand looking at that filthy liar. Someone said to me, they're both liars, meaning they're all liars. So I immediately snapped back, yes, but one of them started a war on police. And that was Hillary. Hillary started the war on police along with Obama. In other words, the Democrats are the anti-military, anti-police, anti-church, anti-straight family party. Do you get what the dividing line is? This is a battle galore for not only for the economic soul of America, but for the cultural soul of America, is what I was saying. How can any police or fireman, for that matter, or military person or family of such ever vote for her? I'll never understand. But they do. They don't think this through. Which brings us, of course, to the election itself, which we're going to be talking about, unfortunately, day in and day out till the election. We have to do it. It's all you're interested in. It's after Labor Day. Everyone's mind is on who's up, who's down, who's winning, who's front. Well, he's up right now. She's down. It's not just because of the coughing. It's because of the lying. The people have seen through her. And they actually like Trump. He outfoxed her on the move, the trip to Mexico. He outfoxed her by going to Detroit and getting anointed by a black church, even though they try to cover it up. Black people are awakening to the fact that Democrats have used them as a tool. Black people in the middle class are awakening to the fact that by stirring up the poorest of the blacks and the most violent amongst the blacks, they are more threatened than our others. And they don't want a demagogue like Hillary to stir up the Black Lives Matter gangs in this country. Believe me, they know what's at stake. And they'd rather take a chance on Trump. Somebody new, fresh, not beholden to the party system, not beholden to the very, very special interests that have gotten us into this place. They figure, what have we got to lose? Let's just try something new. So he is moving up. She's moving down. She's sick. He's healthier than ever. The horse race is starting to get very interesting right now. Who will actually cross the finish line is one question. And should he be the winner, the real question begins, will this illegitimate government of ours call it a mistrial? Because they'll say the Russians hacked it. They'll make that up. Then they'll turn it over to the wonderful man who failed us on so many occasions, Department of Homeland Security. You know, they were very good in preventing so many attacks by radical Islamics. They said they had them in their sights. They were following them for years, and they did nothing to stop them. Wow, that's very, very encouraging to put Jay Johnson in charge of our election process. Then to top it all off, we find out that one of the companies counting the votes is in Spain, which I reported, by the way, years ago in Government Zero. I don't know if you know that. I knew the name of the company then. It was in Government Zero. I go into it in more detail in Scorched Earth about this little trick now going on in our elections, which is, wait a minute, a company in Spain counts the votes in America? Who did this? When did this happen? It's all in Scorched Earth, my blockbuster, which is coming out next week. Yeah, it's all in there. But I want to go back to my main theory, which is what if Trump wins and both gangs don't want him to win, and the existing gang especially doesn't want him to win, and they come up with that scam? Oh, we have proof that the Russians hacked it. Yeah, like they had proof that Benghazi was caused by a video, right? They'll come up with that proof. We have proof. What proof? The proof that Chelsea Clinton made up with a fake name? That proof? So then they can say, well, the election is null and void. Trump didn't really win. We're going to hold a new election. Until we do, Obama's going to graciously stay on after January because he's such a kind, good man. He'll stay on until we can call a new election. Don't think it can't happen, huh? Let me tell you something. The Mafia fixed the 1919 World Series. Did you know that? Was it 1919 or 1918 World Series? You would think a World Series couldn't be fixed, right? Right? Yeah, well, it was. They fixed the 1919 or 1918 World Series. They're afraid that they're going to lose this fixed election. First of all, because Trump came out of nowhere. They never thought he'd be the candidate. They didn't care whether a Republican ran or won. It means nothing to the established order. Because they're all the same at the end of the day. What's the difference? And I'm a cynic to begin with. My father was a cynic, an immigrant and a cynic. And as I walked in the streets with him in New York, yes, I'll say it again, he taught me a lot. Some was good, some was bad. Didn't know everything, but certain things, his cynicism turned out to be true. And I held his hand, or he held my hand, and I asked him once about politics, and he said they're both basically two gangs, the Democrat gang and the Republican gang. And they keep changing, you know, who runs it for a number of years, but it's basically the same. And then he used to say to me, but as a poor guy, he said, I always know this. He said, we seem to do better when the Democrats are in control. That's all he said to me. Well, that was then. This is now. How do you see it? What would you do if they steal the election? I'll be back in a minute.
Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
We have a lot of confidence in the integrity of the election process itself. There are some 9,000 state and local jurisdictions that are involved in the election process, including national elections. We've looked at a fair amount of it. We've looked at what states and cities do. We have a lot of confidence in the process itself. We're in the mode now of wanting to leave no stone unturned.
This is his latest statement, backtracking. Backpedaling, saying, oh, don't worry, I didn't mean I was going to steal the election from you. So, but they do nothing. You see, the useless idiots in Congress should have impeached him immediately and thrown him out of his job. Of course, he was a stooge, just a puppet on a string for the disgraced president. But nevertheless, he is the front man for this despicable idea of turning us into... I'm starting to cough from watching her. It's catching. Maybe it's not a cough. Maybe she did catch it from... Someone, I mean, it's psychological. It's like hiccups. Maybe the whole country will start coughing. Hey, maybe a new bumper sticker. I cough with Hillary. I'm with the cough. I cough for Hillary. And instead of shaking, since Democrats don't think anyway, they can just go up to each other, look at each other, smile, and cough to show solidarity with their leader. How are you? Poverty is not a vice, and let me tell you something else. Affluence is not a virtue. Michael Savage. What do I mean by that? What does it have to do with the election? Well, we have two affluent candidates. It's not poor and rich. Two affluent candidates. It doesn't make it a virtue to have money. See, this it goes beyond the election, and I'm going to develop this at another time. It's just a line I came up with that's starting to resonate with me, and it'll resonate with the nation and the world eventually. Along the lines of liberalism is a mental disorder, which is a book of mine in 2006, and it's still a well-accepted phrase. People don't even know I coined it any more than this. Poverty is not a vice. Affluence is not a virtue. What does it have to do with the election? Many people, half the country is poor. I come from poor people. We didn't think that we were bad people because we're poor. We had pride. We didn't steal any money. We didn't take welfare. We worked. So I work since I'm 6 years old, whether it was selling used comic books or whatever. And I'm still working when I don't have to. Because the work ethic was drilled into me. They call it the Protestant work ethic. But no, it's not the Protestant work ethic. It's called the dignity of work. Work has a dignity to it. Being lazy has no dignity. Look at what it does to people who inherit wealth. And I remember my father used to, I don't know what he would say to me about people with money. I remember one thing that sticks in my mind. I used to say something about rich kids or something because I wanted to be a rich kid. What poor kid doesn't want to be a rich kid? You know any rich kids, any poor kids that don't want to be rich kids? I always dreamed that how nice it would be if my father had money. I used to daydream all the time. Gee, if my father only had this or that, I wouldn't have to be struggling in school. I wouldn't have to. I could be like George Soros' son, a lazy, wasteling bum like before the Russian Revolution, spending his father's fortune with the lowest scum of the planet. A sports star, a hooker who became a model, a DJ, but the top of the society. The top of the heap he gets over there in the Hamptons. That's some party to go to. Anyway, let's put him aside. So he would say to me, look at these inheritance, these kids who inherit money. They wind up nothing. They make nothing of themselves. They become bums. Well, that's generally not true. Trump inherited money, and he built a fortune from that. He had brothers. Some didn't do what he did. One, unfortunately, fell by the wayside. So, you know, there's no pat statement about what happens when you inherit money, nor about being born poor. But there's no virtue. There's no virtue in being poor or rich, is what I'm trying to say. You can have pride as a poor person, and you can have a tremendous virtue as a poor person. Or you can be affluent and have the reverse. We know that. But with regard to this election, I want to make one definitive statement, which is very simple and very straight to the point. What do the poor have to lose voting for Trump? Nothing. Because they know they know what they're going to get if Hillary wins. More of the same that they got under Obama, but worse. Moreover, with the unfunded pensions that are sitting out there in the cities and states and federal government, by building a federal bureaucracy that gets bigger and bigger and bigger, like here in the States, bigger and bigger and bigger. Jerry Brown's California, a gigantic scam built on a house of cards in order to feather the nests of the cronies and the unions who put him in power. It never changes. So what will the poor get from it? Nothing. With Trump, they just might get a chance. It's that simple. I said just a chance. I didn't guarantee you a chicken in every pot.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
I will tell you that we've had problems with cyber intrusions from Russia in the past, from other countries in the past. And look, we're moving into a new era here where a number of countries have significant capacities. And frankly, we got more capacity than anybody, both offensively and defensively. But our goal is not to suddenly, in the cyber arena, duplicate a cycle of escalation.
Right. Talk loudly and carry a limp stick. I got it. Always boasting, always yelling, screaming, well, they're dissing him all over the world. They see through him the way the independents in America have seen through him either recently or for a long time. They're starting to diss him all over the world. And symbolically, to me, the most symbolic thing that happened to this guy happened just a few days ago when he arrived in China for the meeting. All the other heads of state were given stairs and a red carpet. The Chinese did not deliver that for this character. They hate him. Not only do they despise him, but they look at him like a... I'll go into what this is about in a minute. All you got to know is that this was hidden by the fools in the media who think that they're tricking you. Obama did not come down the staircase of Air Force One to a red carpet. He had to sneak out the belly of the plane like a stewardess. He came down plain metal stairs and no one was looking at him. But he bopped down like he was Mr. Cool, still in charge, you know, shoulders back, put on the whole thing, man, like just like a puppet, like a toy soldier, rather. A toy soldier. I'm still in charge. I'm good. I'm great. I'm this. I'm that. And no one looked at him. Now, why did the Chinese do that to him? Well, they know he's a lame duck, number one. They have no respect for a man who will turn on his own people the way he has, number two. They have no respect for a president who will stir up gangsters in the streets and try to bring down a society, number four. I can go down the list. Apparently, they have no respect for someone who will print money. They have no respect for someone who will bring in immigrants who will destroy the country rather than build the country. Believe me, they'd rather have a stronger America as a trading partner than a destroyed America with no trade. Trust me on that one. Chinese communists may not be what we want our nation to look like, but they're stupid, they're not. Managing the billions of people in their country, the billion people in their country, is quite a different shore than managing the couple hundred million in this country with the help of a complicit media. It's a whole different story. They don't tolerate illegal aliens in China. They have very severe methods of dealing with insurrections from the Muslim underbelly in Uzbekistan and elsewhere. Trust me on that. They would not tolerate what this government is not only tolerating, but augmenting in so many ways. So they dissed him. Then the Philippine president calling him the son of a you-know-what, because the president of the Philippines is killing the drug dealers. He's not asking the Philippine version of the ACLU what they should do. They're actually going out and killing drug dealers. So Obama took umbrage at that. He said, do it our way. Do it our way, he said to the president of the Philippines. Let the entire nation become hooked on drugs. Do it our way. Let the lawyers take control. Let the ACLU take control. Mr. Duarte went nuts. Ah, you got to hear it again. Listen to this hot-tempered Filipino. I got to hear it again. Calling Obama a certain name. You got to hear this guy. It's amazing to listen to this, how he disrespects this guy in the White House. Listen, little Philippine president.
I am a president of a sovereign state, and we have long ceased to be a colony. I do not have any master except the Filipino people. Nobody but nobody. You must be respectful. Do not just throw away questions and statements. Putang ina, mumurahin kita dyan sa forum na.
I don't speak Tagalog, but I got the first word. Believe me, as a gringo, I picked up the first word of that statement in Tagalog. And he also threatened, he said, if you keep it up, Obama, we will wind up rolling in the mud. And you will not look too good. Meaning he threatened, he challenged him to a wrestling or fighting match. So naturally Obama said, it's not a constructive meeting, so I'm not going to hold a meeting. Oh, King Obama, the king has no clothes, huh? Wherever he's turned, they're turning on him for a number of reasons, except in America, where because the media is totally in his pocket and that of Hillary Clinton, he can do no wrong. Now, that brings us to the next phase of the show, and that is the callers. I have not taken a single call in an hour and a half because, you know, after these vacations, I'm charged up and the people are still getting warmed up. And also, I got a different view of the talk show business in the car. I got to tell you, I saw it a different way. I heard a different kind of talk show because, you know, when you do your own show, you're basically sending and not receiving. But when you're passive in a car for hours, I mean, it's like 4.5 hours with stops, and then 4 in a traffic jams coming back, as you'd expect. Okay, I came back on Sunday, not Monday, trying to avoid the inevitable, but it happened anyway, coming off out of the mountains, going down the slope with the morons cutting you off, the idiots, whatever. I don't know how truck drivers take it from these idiots. It's the same way as the guys who drive the big boats on San Francisco Bay, whether they be freighters or ferries. They have to put up with these schmucks on the sailboards that cut off a freighter, and I don't understand. It takes a freighter a mile to slow down, or stop, rather. Idiots. They cut off truck drivers on a highway like they're the only one on earth because they were in the mountains on their mountain bike. They're doing something good for the environment, you know. Then they speed home in their car with the bike on the back, cutting everybody off. So, but listening to the talk show, my show and others, I start to hear a different radio show. I said, okay, now I'm a passive guy listening to talk radio. What do I really want to hear? Am I listening for the callers, maybe, if they're good? Or am I really listening to the guy? I'm listening for the talker, what he's got to say. I don't have a lot of time. I could just scan the dial. I can go to like a satellite company that gives me 400 different shows. I can listen to Sinatra or opera or jazz or this or that. So why would I listen to a talk radio? I mean, the competition's never been anything like what we have today. It's a miracle that anyone listens to talk radio, is what I decided. I don't earn anywhere near what I should be earning for even holding on to an audience in this world of media. Do you know that? I'm worth 1,000 times more than I make. Let's say 100 times or 1,000 times more. But I'm not in this for the money. I'm in this for the mission. And the mission to me is to get us through this election, and then we'll see where we go with the show and the country and where I want to go. But what I'm saying is I heard the show, and you know, who has tolerance to really listen to drivel? If the host is simply going to say day in and day out the same thing over and over and over again, I'm not going to listen. I want original ideas. I want entertainment, which is something I can do and I try to do. I don't do it consistently, but I'm going to try to do it more consistently. And so I gave you some new ideas today that you didn't hear before that are worth talking about that do relate to the election. Poverty is not a vice. Affluence is not a virtue. That will live. I also asked you a key question that no one in radio has asked yet. What would you do if Obama and his gang declare the election null and void if Trump wins and say that Obama's staying in power? What would you do? That's where I'm going, because if I were in a car, now I'm projecting now, I'm on a long trip, I haven't come back, I'm still on the road, I'm going to go to work tomorrow, I'm listening to Michael Savage. I heard him, I didn't hear him. He's an interesting guy, but what an interesting question. He laid out the idea that Obama's laying out a plan to steal the election if Trump wins. And he showed the steps that they've been taking to lay the groundwork on the pretext that Russia's going to hack the election, which is a complete fallacy along the lines of the lie that Hillary's been spewing about Benghazi, that they rioted because of a videotape about Islam. A complete lie. But because of the snakes in the media and the vipers, the asps and such, the people by and large bought it. But it turned out to be a complete fraud, as we've been telling you for years. They invented it. There was no such videotape. The whole thing was a fraud. In fact, new emails came out yesterday that her daughter, the snake, Chelsea, under a pseudonym, was sending emails orchestrating the Benghazi hearings, telling the idiot senators, mainly Menendez, remember him? From Jersey, what to ask so that she'd look good. Did you know that they set up the whole thing? Didn't I tell you the whole thing was a fake? Remember I attacked Trey Gowdy as a stooge for them by letting it go on like that? So anyway, many of you want to hear my ideas or my this and that, or the other talk show hosts. I'm only on a few hours a day. It's a long day part. Then there's a night part. You have other people to listen to. But fundamentally what you want to do is hear the host. Now, a caller should only get on a talk show if he's got or she's got something novel to add that's worthy of someone in a car. I try to tell that to my call screener. Don't just put someone up to fill airtime. I don't want it. So here we go. Let's take a shot at what's out there. We're going to KUGN up in Oregon, where Jeff is calling about Hillary's coughing fits. Jeff, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me. I'm a MD, retired this year after 45 years of experience, and I've been watching Hillary cough constantly when I watch. I watched the whole talk yesterday, and right. I watched also the news, seeing that on her airplane they deleted her coughing. I was surprised, and actually I'm not surprised. Anyway, I have a mother who had Parkinson's disease, and she coughed a lot because she would aspirate, and in fact that's what caused her death. In fact, I have seen a lot of Parkinson's cases with coughing spells because they can't control their phlegm, gets down the windpipe, and they cough. Granted, there's a lot of causes of coughing. She needs a chest film at a minimum, make sure she hasn't got lung disease. She could have clots in her lungs. You had a caller earlier who said it was a beta blocker or an ACE inhibitor. I would take issue with that because a good doctor would have taken her off those meds if they were causing her trouble, and this has been going on for a while. So I think she's in for serious problems with Parkinson's disease. She's certainly in for serious problems with a neurological disease, with the head movements, the falling. I actually talked to you once before about her falling and her Coumadin, and I think she's one fall away from a catastrophe. All she's got.
Doctor, what do you think she's suffering from?
Well, it's hard to put it all in one basket, and in medicine we're trained to put it in one basket. I would go, if her chest film is okay and her lung functions are okay, I'd be worried about a neurological disease, and I certainly would put Parkinson's at the top. But she may have had some neurological damage with that clot in her head some years ago. Yes, you could be suffering from a medicine, but I doubt it. I think we're in for a long haul of coughing and aspirating. It looked like that to me. I wouldn't buy dementia. I've talked to and have taken care of lots of people with dementia. She doesn't sound like she is that troubled like a dementia patient might be. But she, with Parkinson's, she's got like a 20% chance the next 4 years of becoming demented.
Well, that's it. It's not only now, but what about 2 years from now or three? Don't we want a full medical record of a candidate for the presidency, both her and Trump? I mean, I want her records and Trump's records. With Obama, we knew he was healthy as a lynx because he was a young man. We didn't even question that. What we should have been told were his associations, which we were not told. We know that. But we have a right to a full disclosure, don't you think?
Absolutely. She's traveled the world. She may have picked up something exotic. But I think Reynolds disease.
Tropical disease from, we could call it a new disease. Maybe she picked, God forbid, something up in Libya. Libyitis.
Yeah, I would assume her doctors have done a chest film, but we should know what it showed.
Maybe something came out of the desert sands when she was promoting the Arab Spring. She picked up a spore from the desert. Who knows? Doctor, thank you for the insight. Stay in the line because you have coming out to you a fresh copy of Scorched Earth. Can the nation recover from Obama's scorched earth policies? Are we one bad election away from losing everything? Tell me I'm wrong when I say that America is becoming a third world nation under the Democrats of terror, riots, mobs, and chaos. And then you have Obama practicing a scorched earth policy, spitting on the national anthem over the weekend by supporting that despicable sports figure. That sports figure who can no longer achieve the acclaim he once achieved on the field of action, so he wants to achieve it on the field of hatred. Okay? What do you think I mean by a scorched earth policy? Now you understand? It's not pollen, my friends. It's socialism.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
We know how important this election is to Ohio. It's not just, as Tim said, that Ohio is one of those battleground states you hear about every 4 years. It's that Ohio represents everything that's great about America and all of the challenges and the opportunities that we face.
Now you know what a Marxist billionaire sounds like when she's coughing. Are we in for an October surprise? Is Obama floating balloons to steal an election? Are we in for an October surprise? Is Obama floating balloons to steal an election? The world is teetering right now. North Korea is firing missiles. Tensions in the South China Sea and Eastern Europe. Refugees flooding into Europe who are rioting and beating up police out of control. And America's asleep because the mastermind of all of this is Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, the two masterminds. And I outline all of this in Scorched Earth out next week, but you can pre-order it. You get the free MP3 of Trump's first interview with me in 2011. All you got to do is order the book at Amazon.com or your favorite store and email a receipt to scorchedearthbook@gmail.com and you're going to get this free bonus MP3 free of charge with the book. But next week, the Savage Army has got to go into the bookstores for me. I'm holding my fire for that week. You'll see ads for it on many sites, including a Drudge Report. That's the signal to go in as my army and demand that that book be put up front. Why? Why do I want Scorched Earth up front? Because I want it on the New York Times bestseller list with all my other last books. Why? So they have to admit that there's a scorched earth policy that's been followed by Obama before the election. That's why. It's advertising for my cause of borders, language, and culture, as I planned this for over a year now. 1 year in planning. to come out just before the election to try to sway those who are undecided by teaching them the dire straits we are in, and that there is almost no reason not to take a chance on Trump, because we know what we're going to get with the other one, the coffer. The coffer will continue it and put the final nail in the coffin of America. Now, how's that for a neat tie-up? The coffer will put the final nail in the coffin of America because of Obama's scorched earth policies. How's that tied up in a neat bundle for you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage. Can I still connect with the working man's struggles? Can I still connect with the broken dreams of most Americans? Can I still connect to the poor in America, to the troubled and downtrodden in America? Or have I disconnected from it because I am no longer struggling? Well, one of the points I want to make right now is that I haven't disconnected from my former self, because I am the same exact person I've been my entire life. The same exact person. I've not changed at all. I've tried to, but I can't. You can try to remake yourself, but let me tell you something. Your old self has a really weird way of always being there. Write that one down. I mean, we live in an age of everyone reinventing themselves, and you have all these little selves dancing around, and you put on this self or that self. The end of the day, though, you go to sleep, it's yourself, right? There's nothing new about it. The important thing is you're listening to this show for a couple of reasons. Some of you like my conflicts. Some of you like my sulky nature. Some of you like my anger. Some of you like my fire. Some of you like my insights. Some of you dislike all of the above, but you don't know why you're addicted to me, and that's because, well, for reasons that I won't tell you. It's got a lot to do with many other things. But the fact of the matter is, we're all struggling. There's not a person on earth who is not struggling. I don't care who it is. The despised Obama, the sick Hillary, the arrogant Trump, if you want to call him that. Everyone is struggling, not only to understand themselves, but to understand their place in the universe. You know that or not? Is this too much of a pat homily for you to get this? I hope not. Because the fact of the matter is, this nation is totally disordered right now, as are the people. Totally disordered from top to bottom. I'm not saying Obama caused all of this, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he caused all the high school dropouts to drop out. I'm not saying he caused the factories to close. But I am saying he made that stuff a lot worse. And that's what I mean by scorched earth. That's what I say he's leaving behind. A scorched earth policy. And I can spell it out for you as I have done for so many months or years now. But I want to bring it back to the primary question of the day. Is Obama planning on stealing the election by talking about a Russian hack, declaring Trump's victory not legitimate, nullifying the election and staying in office? We don't know, but we know they've been laying the groundwork for this through the stooge in the DHS and in the newspapers. Yes, and I'm asking you what you would do if they stole the election from us. It's a funny question because you say it can't. You're saying it can't happen here. I'm saying it can happen here. I'm saying they're laying the groundwork. I've seen them lay the groundwork. There's sound bites of them laying the groundwork. They're laying it very carefully. A contingency plan should the establishment lose this election. They're going to declare it null and void that Russians hacked it. That's why they've been demonizing Putin. Demonizing him every day for over a year now. Since Hillary appeared on the stage, she's called him Hitler. Do you remember that? While she was plotting the destruction of Europe, while she was plotting the destruction of Libya, while she was permitting the ambassador to Libya, Chris Stevens, to be slaughtered mercilessly, along with Marines and CIA operatives that were there to defend him. While she was plotting all of that, she was laying the groundwork for what might happen if she didn't win this election. Because one thing you got to know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's a famous saying by the British philosopher Lord Acton that I quoted in Abuse of Power, my first commercial novel, which, by the way, was a bestseller. Thank you. Bestseller apparently everywhere but in San Francisco, where I don't exist, except to my loyal audience on KSFO. Thank you for that as well. I don't know whether it's me who makes the audience or Teddy who makes the audience, my little 12-pound poodle. But I got to tell you, last night I was standing on a dock somewhere in the Bay Area. I won't say where. I went out for a drink, and I was with my dog, and a ferry was coming in, and it was still out in the middle of the bay. And there were a long line of people waiting to get on in the last run back to San Francisco. A lot of bicyclists. An Indian guy came up to me, and he said to me, "Is the last ferry here at 7:45? Where do you buy your tickets?" And I had a pleasant conversation with him just about that. Anyway, I went over to the dock, and I picked Teddy up to see the ferry coming in. It's like a child to me. What am I going to do? I used to pick my children up and say, "Look at the ferry. Look, son, look at the ferry. Dad, yeah, ferry." I do it with the dog. What are you going to do? They're surrogate children, you know. So ferry comes in. The captain docks this big steel-hulled ferry. And I look up, and he looks down. And he yells at me. He says, "Is that Teddy?" I didn't know the captain. He didn't know me. I said, "It is. I get busted all the time with my dog. He's the one. He's the famous one. Not me. I'm just the talker. I'm his service human. I got to tell you that." So we chatted about this and that, and this man's been listening to me, this captain, ever since 15, 20 years now on KSFO, and he said, "I remember all of your phrases. I play your show while I'm driving this boat." I won't give his name away. I don't want to get him in trouble. But the fact of the matter is he was able to quote me better than I was able to quote me. "Be here or be nowhere." Yep, that's me. I can do it without giving. He comes from a military family, and he said to me, "Yes, I remember, Michael, when you said 15 years ago, you said, if it wasn't for the U.S. military, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade." I mean, people do remember my phrases. My phrases are remembered. And I got to say thank you for that, because it gives me a sense of a certain sense of immortality in that regard. And no one's immortal, we know that. But what does a talk show host do it for? Well, I don't know. Everyone has their own reasons. I've been writing since I'm a little guy and trying to leave a little mark behind. You know, I have a dream about that last night. I'll get back to the election. It's hour three. I go into another state of mind. I come down off the mountain, and this is where I go. This is how I do it. This is how I do my show. I climb a mountain and I come down the mountain in hour three, but doesn't mean that I leave the mountain behind. You know, walking down a mountain is sometimes harder than walking up a mountain. I still feel it in my legs from walking down a long mountain. I got to tell you, my legs hurt more from walking down than from walking up. So don't assume I'm just throwing this one away. I'm not. But the fact of the matter is, I had a dream last night about this. All my journals that I've written since I started them in 67. I don't remember when. A little green one. Big trip to Europe. I don't remember. God, I don't remember. I graduated college in 63. 65 was my first journal. So I have them all in one gigantic plastic box, year by year, right? And I remember somebody was trying to take them away from me and rip them up and burn them. And I grabbed this person's hand and I said, "This is my life's work. This is my life's work." And my hands became like steel. You ever hear the stories about women, ordinary women, who move a car because someone they know got trapped under it, and suddenly they get a superhuman strength, and they can lift the car, that a strength comes over them? You know, humans are amazing. We have capacities, as you well know, that we don't know. Almost superhuman capacities can overtake us at certain moments. Well, in this dream, that superhuman capacity overtook me. My hands became those hands of steel. And almost snapped the person's hand off who was trying to take my journals away. So what does it have to do with today? I don't know what it has to do with today. Nothing. It has nothing to do with today, but I wanted to throw the dream out because it had something to do with today. Other than I woke up and I was glad that the show finally came on. I tell you the truth, 1, 2, 3, 4 days without the show, I was having dreams. Did you ever those dreams that you're back in school, and it's been many years, and you're rushing to take an exam, and you can't get to the classroom, and you get there and it's too late. The exam was given or the teacher says you can't take it. Everyone has those dreams about not being able to get into a class. I had them for years after I graduated college, that I was trying to get to the parking lot and it was jammed and that I couldn't find the building. Then I found the building, and by the time I got there, the test was over. I used to have those dreams all the time. Well, I don't have them anymore. It's been a long time since I graduated college. I'll tell you what dreams I have now when I'm on vacation. I have a dream that it's like 10 minutes till the show starts, and I'm nowhere near a studio. I had Robert and Jim pay attention. And I was trying to get to a certain studio to do the show, and I didn't know if I can get there in time. And I didn't have a cell phone because I wanted to call my guys and say, I'm going to be in Studio X. Connect and make sure it's running when I get in there. And I couldn't do it. I had these dreams over and over again that it was 10 to the hour and the show wasn't starting, or I didn't do it right. It wasn't going to start right. Something was going to go wrong. Well, I'm here now with you for 2 hours and 15 minutes on the first day back from an eternity. It's like from here to eternity this weekend. But we're back. We're here. It's the Savage Nation. We're talking about all these topics. And, of course, I invite you to call at 855-400-7282. The phone number, of course, is 855-400-SAVAGE. The main question is, what would you do if the Obama criminal empire tries to declare the election null and void by inventing some story such as Russian hacking? What would you actually do? Don't tell me you're going to get a gun. And I don't want to hear that, because you're not going to get a gun. I want to know what you're going to do. What would you do? They're planning it. I can read the tea leaves. They laid it down. They used to say in the advertising business in the 50s, 60s, I used to read, oh, let's run it up the flagpole. So they had Jay Johnson of DHS run it up the flagpole last week. Well, it's critical infrastructure like the power grid, and we may have to look into taking it over and putting it under my purloin because I've done such a great job here in America at Orlando and all the other places where the Islamo terrorists killed people. I've done such a bang-up job that I'm going to take over the elections. Only in America. Only under this guy, because of the complicit media and the passive drugged American audience. But I don't speak to the passive drugged American audience, do I? Talk radio does not address that audience, and that is the crux of the problem, my dear listeners of the Savage Nation. You are the committed. You are the informed. I don't mean you all agree with me or that you're all Republicans or conservatives. I'm not saying that at all, but you're committed and you are tuned into what's going on. You're a very small minority of the average person. The average person's not tuned into anything. Nothing. They don't know what's going on around them, nor do they care. And they're not all stupid, by the way. It doesn't make them stupid. It doesn't make them dumb. They're just not interested in it. Did you know that? You know, you could be a perfectly brilliant person and not care about politics. Can you imagine that? But they don't listen to this show. So it's impossible to reach them. I can't reach them. As brilliant as I can be at times, I cannot reach brilliant people who don't listen to radio, can I? How can I reach them if they don't listen to anything? They know their mind. They're in their own world. They're in their own world. They're not interested. They're doing something else. It doesn't mean that they're stupid. Their minds are made up. They're going to do a certain thing that's best for themselves, and they're going to focus only on their own business or their own avocations, and they're going to forget. So who am I really talking to? See, it's very introspective today. Long car ride up, long car ride back, traffic jam on the Richmond Parkway getting onto 580 was like nightmarish, a one-mile backup. Luckily, I grew up in New York, so I didn't sit on the line. I had my way around it. It wasn't very pleasant when I made that left and the junction. I won't say it was not dangerous, but I don't sit in line waiting for a turn, either on the radio or in a car. I try to break the rules where I can when my survival is at stake.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Partying with the scum of the earth as an example of a Marxist billionaire. We talked about Obama joining the Black Lives Movement and dissing the national anthem. We played the Philippines president calling Obama the son of a you-know-what. I played the soundbite of Reuters, as you know who they are, the descendants of Hitler's minions, cutting the camera that showed Obama being, showing Trump being revered by a black church group in Detroit. It's strange they cut it off when they were giving him a Jewish prayer shawl. I thought that was amazing. Obviously, it was a Christian church of African Americans. And after they lauded Donald Trump, the man took out a Jewish tallis, a prayer shawl, and as they were putting it on Trump, you can hear one of the vermin in the background screaming to the cameraman, "They're giving him a shawl! They're giving him a shawl! Cut it off! Cut it off!" And the cameraman says, "I'd rather lose my job. I'm not cutting it. I'm running this." And then they cut the feed. It just shows you, when I say to you Izvestia, when I say to you Pravda, when I say to you we're living in the United Soviet States of America under this rat bum in the White House and these vermin in the media, you think I'm making it up? Ask anyone in the media how bad it is. It's worse than you think. And so in the midst of all of this, I have to try to punch through this morass of lies with some semblance of reality from my point of view, right? And then you have to decide for yourself what's real. That's all. That's if you want reality. I don't know if people even want it anymore. People are so depressed and so drugged, I don't know if they know the difference between reality and fantasy. I have some new stories for you to bring up. I have all the sound I haven't gotten to. 8 pages of sound. I've only played her coughing. Then I played the Filipino president calling Obama, you know what? Then I played the Reuters cameraman being told to shut it down to kill positive Trump footage. I haven't played most of the rest. Obama on Russian hacking made it up. Then Obama saying until the Minsk agreement is implemented, we will not pull down sanctions. You hear this? Again, vilifying Russia. And then the idiot Citizen Kane. One of the most, I would say Hillary's choice for vice president. He's an eerie dead ringer for Freddy the Clown in those horror movies. That guy Kane from Virginia. He really is a frightening looking man. I mean, if I were casting a character for Freddy the Clown, a guy with a clown makeup who's really a crazy man who hurts children, how did she pick this guy? He's the most unattractive male that she could ever... What is he, a mirror image of her? Is that her, like... Okay, forget it. That's her alter ego? Is Tim Kaine? He touted her stamina, saying it's hard to keep up with her. She almost choked to death coughing. Bill Clinton compares his foundation to Robin Hood. Oh, that's a good one. Bill Clinton comparing his foundation to Robin Hood. Oh, my God. We got to play that one, Robert. When I come back, I got to hear that one. Now he's Robin Hood, you hear? Not robbing the hood, but he's Robin Hood. He's not robbing the hood. He's Robin Hood, not robbing the hood. He's Robin Hood, he's not robbing the hood. Is he Robin Hood or is he robbing the hood?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And as I said before the break, I don't know whether he's Robin Hood or Robin the Hood, but here's old Bill Clinton trying to pull the old boy thing on us again in number 17 on the Savage.
Well, they even went after my foundation last week. Now, that was really funny. To me, somebody asked me what I thought about it. I said, well, here's what I did. I was sort of Robin Hood, except I didn't rob anybody. I just asked people with money to give it to people who didn't have money. And we tried to use it in America and around the world to save jobs, to create jobs, and to save lives.
You believe a word that he just said? One of my favorite shows on TV is American Greed, when they bust the con men, and they usually interview them from prison. But they show them in their heyday, riding high. The jets, the yachts, the women, the booze, the drugs. Well, now, how does that compute what he just said? He's Robin Hood? Bill Clinton's Robin Hood? Here's an article from the Washington Post itself, not a conservative outlet. Inside Bill Clinton's nearly $18 million job as honorary chancellor of a for-profit college. I couldn't believe this. $18 million he made, you hear, over 5 years with a private for-profit college. That was somewhat related to Hillary Clinton's power as Secretary of Hate. Clinton wanted a representative. You hear this? They wanted a representative from a for-profit college company called Laureate International Universities. And it was tied deeply into the Clintons. They paid him $17.6 million as a consultant and honorary chancellor. Can you believe this? This is unbelievable. Private education, guys, huh? Now, on a separate token, Obama's put out a list today for National Read a Book Day. That's right. Today is National Read a Book Day. And here are some of the books he suggested. And no, it's not Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. No, it's not Karl Marx's book. It's a surfer book. That's one. A drug addict surfer. Of course, a slavery book, The Underground Railroad. That's how you got to be in there. Because he's been suffering, you know, like Colin Paperneck. They both suffered deeply from racist America. You know. Another one is, I don't know what that one's about. Then another one, a novel. Then another one about slavery. I do not see Scorched Earth on the list of Obama's recommended reading for National Book Day, Restoring the Country After Obama. I don't know why. I mean, if the man was honest, he would have an opposition book, right? Wouldn't he have a book that opposes him on there to show how fair he is? One of my best favorite chapters is called Diversity is Destroying Democracy. Oh, yeah. You never put two and two together. Scorched Earth, Diversity is Destroying Democracy. I'll read a paragraph. Europe has been swamped with Muslim refugees, and some of America's so-called leaders, the misleaders, want to see the same thing happen here. One article after another describes this crisis. Sweden close to collapse. Germany in grip of Muslim takeover. You got it. You know something's gotten really bad when even liberals notice it. Even Reuters, which once decried the term terrorist as insensitive, if you can believe that, has reported on the swamp, the swarm of army ants that is taking over the colony called Europe, taking over Europe itself. Diversity is destroying democracy. There and here the same. And it's all in this long chapter here on immigration and how it differs from real immigration. And invasion is not immigration. Never forget that. Immigration is not invasion. Invasion is not immigration. It's all in Scorched Earth. I got to remind you, it'll be out next Tuesday in bookstores across America. It's going to be huge. And I want you to go in and get it in the bookstore. Or if you want to pre-order it, you get the free MP3 of me and Donald Trump from 2011. Just send the receipt to scorchedearthbook@gmail.com. So now let's go back to National Talk Show Day on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Philip in Pennsylvania. Philip, go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Philip?
Dr. Savage, I'd like to offer you a dream analysis.
Go ahead.
So you dreamed of someone stealing your transcripts that date back to 1963, stealing them from your arm and tearing them off from your body. Well, my dream is, analysis of that is, that soon the propaganda of the government is going to steal your voice from us, that we listen to you faithfully every day, and we're going to lose our contact. And perhaps you're worried that your First Amendment right that we all enjoy as your audience is going to be stolen away from you, and we're going to lose contact with you.
It's a very nice interpretation. It's very complimentary, and I appreciate it, but maybe I didn't describe. The dream was about all of my journals, which are in one box. Someone was trying to take all the journals away and destroy them. What I'm afraid of is that this despicable, hateful Soviet machine on the Sydney, the Rat Blumenthal, and the Hillary Clinton machine, which destroys people, destroys everyone they come in contact with. They're the most evil force in the history of American politics, in my opinion. They will try to smear me before this election is over by destroying my legacy, by reinventing my actual realities. But in the dream, I don't let them do it, by the way. You see what I'm saying? Now, remember, I'm the only American media personage prohibited from entering England based on false lies, which I think came out of the same Hillary camp. I have no way to prove it. But I saw certain quotes from England when they banned me that came directly from people within the Hillary camp, to the best I could put it together. She got together, or he got together, that Blumenthal character, that's my guess, no proof whatsoever, and sent these statements over to their cohorts in the Socialist Party called the Labour Party in England, and they smeared me. And so I see it coming. They destroy everyone in their wake. They are a dangerous, dangerous force. Never underestimate them. But, you know, the truth is the greatest protector on earth. And my legacy is my real legacy. They could say anything they want. They could make stuff up. You know, whatever they want to do. But the truth is the truth. So I appreciate that. I'm going to send you a great gift called Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. It'll be on the way to you shortly. And now I'm going back to the main question. Mike on KSFO answers the question of what he will do if the Obama machine tries to steal the election by saying it's illegitimate and he's going to stay in office. What would you do? Mike on KSFO Radio Line 4, go ahead, please.
Yes, I belong to a group that is already doing something. It's something that the Founding Fathers established in the Constitution under Article 10, and that is to reestablish states' rights. It's a very simple process. If we get state to fight the federal government and to keep its sovereignty, we can take back America by stopping the federal government and the federal courts in overstepping their limits. But we have to find a governor that has got the guts and the know-how to stop letting everything go to the federal government and everything going to the federal court system.
But listen what they've done. Mike, listen to what they've done. They got the stooge, Jay Johnson, of DHS. You heard him last week on this show. I played the tape. He said, we want to change what elections are to a critical infrastructure like the power grid and put it under my control. That's what he said.
I know, but on the state level, there is a way. It's in our founding documents from the founding fathers. We can beat this thing, but people...
All right, well, hold on. Mike, you're calling me on KSFO in San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland. You think Jerry Brown is going to step up to the plate and invoke democracy when he's running a one-party system already?
I'm not talking about Jerry Brown. I'm talking about any governor in any state that's got guts. And right now, there's two governors that are doing something to standing up against the federal government. One is a governor of Maine who's standing up against the federal government trying to come into their Medicare system. The other one is in North Carolina trying to stand up for their voter ID rights and another issue. And there is something going on, Michael. I know this for a fact. I am a part of a group that is doing this, and we are moving. And I'll tell you one other thing that's there. Soros is putting all kinds of money into a law firm in Washington, D.C. to stop states' rights because they know that this is the only thing that will stop Hillary, if she was elected, from...
How can we stop George Soros from meddling in our elections and destroying our democracy? I want to know how this piece of human garbage gets away with this. How does this trillionaire human garbage money changer in the back of the temple get away with manipulating a nation? How does he do it?
Well, he's got money, and money talks, and everybody else runs away.
Why in the world is there no investigation of George Soros' interfering in our elections across America by funding these front groups? Did you know he gave $70 million to the thugs in Black Lives Matter?
Yes, I knew that.
No, but as a constitutionalist, do you agree with me when I analyze this and say, why would a trillionaire, billionaire like Soros, give $70 million to a group of street thugs? So the answer is not that he supports them, but he knows that they won't go after him if he gives them the money. He knows that they're unpredictable, they're violent, and he knows that he has a lot of skeletons in his closet, and if he keeps funding all of these left-wing radical groups, they will not focus on what he's doing. That's been my best guess.
That's true, but I'm telling you, states' rights is where it's at for us. I'm a friend of...
All right, so I think you've made a big point, and I think that this will come up over and over again, because you agree with me that the government under Obama is planning to declare a sort of an emergency if Trump wins. Is that what we agree on?
Yes, we can agree on that, yes.
Because we've seen them lay the groundwork for the lie that Russia hacked the election. They're going to declare it null and void. I don't think what you are saying is going to be enough. I think that there has to be much more than that. I think there has to be 30 million Americans in the streets to stop this federal power grab and this absolute destruction of our democracy. And remember, and listen, guys, I'm all for peaceful protest, but when you have a gangster government that does not respect peaceful protest, then all bets are off as to what will happen in this country, Mike. And remember this, the 1919 or the 1918 World Series was fixed by the mafia. It's a well-known fact. They fixed the World Series. If they can fix the World Series, then a gang can fix an election. And what's happening here is they cannot fix this election because Trump is the wild card that came out of the gate and defied all odds. They don't want him winning at all costs. With her coughing, with her falling apart, with him surging in the polls, they're terrified that this independent billionaire just might become president. And then they're going to be out of luck, and some of them might be in orange jumpsuits. My friend, I wish you great luck. We'll talk again. Hopefully this does not happen. Hopefully they will not do this. I'm sending you scorched earth, restoring the country after Obama, because if it's one thing we can agree upon, it's that this scorched earth policy that Obama is practicing is so ruthless that it has no limitations.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
On Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Obama joins Black Lives Matter in dissing the national anthem. The Philippines president calling Obama a really strong name. Reuters cutting the camera on African-American churchgoers. Loving Donald Trump. Hillary's coughing spells, spelling serious health issues. Amazing stuff on the Savage Nation today, the first day back. Clears the air driving in an old van up and down the highway. I got to tell you, you get to see the real of America, and it's not so pretty to look at. The obese welfare moms not working, stuffing their faces with welfare burgers with their babies in the middle of the workday, enjoying every day of their life because they don't work. And you look at the babies and say, what can that baby ever become in this country? The mother doesn't work. There is no father. There's no work ethic. So what's the baby going to do? You figure it out. Either incarceration or welfare. That's all. 88 retired generals and admirals have endorsed. Roll the drums, not Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. 88 retired generals and admirals have endorsed Donald Trump. You can't get the current generals and admirals to endorse Donald Trump because they're all, a little oriented in another direction. Like the Air Force Secretary who never flew an airplane. Or the Navy Secretary who never powered a boat. You know what I'm saying. Those are the new admirals, the Potemkin admirals under Obama. What are the other headlines? Well, there's a lot of them. Oh, yeah. The coughing is something to pay attention to. Play the cough, Robert, so they know what I'm talking about. The cough that's been hidden by the vermin in the media. It's a very serious issue. Can anyone got a Kleenex?
We know how important this election is to Ohio.
4 minutes this went on.
It's not just...
All right, you get the... I'm not going to listen to it because I'll start coughing in a minute. Maybe Smith Brothers made a donation to the Clinton Foundation, and she's going to save herself from coughing fits by pulling out a Smith Brothers at the end of a few days, and we'll know the whole connection. I don't know what this thing is about. Fleer Brother, what's the other cough drops of today? I don't use cough. I do use a hippie cough drop. They're much better. You know, the echinacea kind, and that's the kind of cough drop I use, but no one knows what those are. They actually work. They stopped the cough instantly. Anyway, my friends, Obama was forced to sneak out of Air Force One in China. Huge story of the fall of this arrogant man. He arrived in China for the G8 summit. All the other world leaders were given what they expect, a roll-up stairwell with a red carpet and a band in China. They so despise Obama and so think so little of him that there was no such stairway and no red carpet. He was forced to sneak out the belly of the plane. Now, look, my friends, this is so right for a novelist about a president being forced to sneak out of Air Force One as he arrives in China with no band, no stairway, and no red carpet. And when he gets down, the entire crowd is looking in another direction. But he keeps bopping on, you know, the hands held high and the head held high. And I'm the greatest man on earth. Here I come. Just sauntering down those steps, man. I'm so cool, and no one's looking at him.